Everybody's ready for the turkey. So that means you're ready for Thanksgiving joke too, right? All right, here we go. I have to tell you ahead of time, Thanksgiving jokes, good ones are hard to come by. So a four-year-old boy was saying grace before Thanksgiving dinner. The family members bowed their heads in expectation. He began his prayer, thanking God for all of his friends, naming them one by one. Then he thanked God for mommy, daddy, brother, sister, grandpa, grandma, and all of his aunts and uncles. Then he began to thank God for the food. He gave thanks for the turkey, the dressing, the fruit salad, the cranberry sauce, the pies, the cakes, and even the Cool Whip. Then he paused, and everyone waited and waited. And after a long silence, the young fellow looked up at his mother and asked, "If I thank God for the broccoli, will that be lying?" I had a couple other ones picked out for you, but my wife said that they just weren't funny. So let me tell you. Okay, I'm going to tell you one anyway. The mother turkey was talking to her young, and she said, "If your father could see you acting like this, he would roll over in his gravy." That's funny. Okay. So I'm about to make a statement, and I want you to take a minute to digest it. Think about it a minute. Most people are only thankful when they have to be. This goes for Christians as well as non-Christians. Most people are only thankful when they have to be. So maybe your initial thought is, "Pastor, that's a terrible thing to say about people." But you know what? It's the truth. Think about it. We actually set aside a special day to give thanks, and we call it Thanksgiving. But if we gave thanks all the time the way we should, would we really need a holiday for it? Now, I know this is not something that most of us do on purpose. We have that sin nature, right? I don't think that it's always because we choose to be unthankful, but it happens. I don't believe that we're ungrateful or unthankful on purpose, I guess is what I'm trying to say. For the most part, it's our nature as humans to take things for granted. And this is nothing new. People had the same problem in Jesus' day too. If you have your Bibles this morning, open them up to Luke chapter 17. And we're going to read starting in verse 11. Luke chapter 17. Verse 11. Here's what it says. "Now it happened, when he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then, as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourselves to the priests.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory except this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Arise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. So this morning, with this section of Scripture in mind, I want to take a look at three questions in regards to our thankfulness. And the first one is this. Is there really such a thing as a good excuse for not being thankful? Is there really such a thing as a good excuse for not being thankful? There's something about our culture that we just love to make excuses, don't we? Really? We have trouble accepting the responsibility of our actions. We have that attitude that nothing is ever our fault. I mean, it seems like no one in jail has ever committed a crime. They've all been put in there for a reason that was bogus. I mean, how many of you have actually watched that show, Cops? You ever seen the show, Cops? Over and over again, somebody is getting in trouble for something they didn't do. I actually saw an episode of this where a guy, he blamed the Goodwill for the crack cocaine that the officer found in his pocket. Blamed the Goodwill. He just bought the coat and it was their fault that junk was in his coat. This seems to be behavior that we know even in our childhood. Think about it a second. When a little kid gets in trouble, don't they always try to blame it on someone else, whether it be a brother, a sister, a dog or cat wrote on the wall, whatever it happens to be. Kids even know this behavior. My imaginary friend told me to do it. But this carries over into our adult life. Have you watched coverage of the presidential race? Lots of excuses and blaming going on there. You see it there too. How many goofy lawsuits are filed every year because people don't want to accept responsibility for their own actions? Nobody wants to admit the fact that they made a boneheaded error. Remember the woman that spilled her McDonald's coffee on her lap? Anybody remember that from years back? She takes the cap off of her coffee and she's putting cream and sugar in her coffee and she spills it on her lap and ends up with third degree burns. And she sues McDonald's. And there were folks that actually agreed with her because she was awarded this lawsuit for damages for the burns that she received from that coffee. It was the fault of McDonald's. No. But this attitude of excuses and blaming, it's not a new thing either. And we can prove that with Scripture too. Let's look at Genesis chapter 3. If you have your Bibles, open up to Genesis chapter 3. Starting in verse 1. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. And here's what it says. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of the tree of the garden'?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of it and she ate. So also, so she gave to her husband, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat? Then the man said, the woman whom you gave me to be with, she gave me of the tree and I ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. So I want you to picture this event. God told Adam and Eve not to eat from the fruit of this certain tree. But they did it anyway. And they had to face God. He comes to them and he says, what's going on? First he goes to Adam. And what does Adam do? Adam blames God. He says, this woman that you gave me, she gave me the fruit. He said, you gave me this faulty woman. It wasn't me at all. Then God turns to Eve and she uses the famous, the devil made me do it. But God didn't buy any of it. He knew exactly what instruction he had given, and they ignored him. Those excuses didn't fly with God. And if we jump back to the text from Luke with the 10 lepers, only one came back to thank Jesus. I'm sure the rest had really good excuses for not coming back. Maybe they wanted to wait and see if the healing was real and if it was actually going to stick before they came back to thank him. Maybe some were thinking, well, I was kind of starting to get better anyway. I'm not really sure Jesus really did anything. Maybe some just thought, well, I'll thank him later. I'll see him again later and I'll thank him then. I don't know what the excuses really were. It doesn't say for sure. What I do know is this. As humans, we've mastered the art of excuses, right? Haven't we? We don't take responsibility for our actions. But remember, excuses didn't fly with God. And they don't fly with Jesus either. When only one truly thankful leper came back to Jesus, he said, your faith has made you well. But then he asked, where are the other nine? Jesus expected every single one of them to be thankful. And he expects the same from us today. So the second question I have for you this morning is this. Shouldn't every single one of us have something to be thankful for? The Sunday school teacher asked the class what they were thankful for. Little Johnny, he raised his hand and he was dancing in his seat. And the teacher reluctantly called upon him and she said, what are you thankful for this year, Johnny? And he said, I'm thankful I'm not a turkey. I told you the jokes weren't very good. God wants us to be thankful in all circumstances because we have something to be thankful for. Listen, if you're a Christian, you have a whole lot to be thankful for. Jesus Christ came to this earth where he lived a sinless life in order to be a reasonable sacrifice for you and me. He took our place so that we could live in eternity with God the Father. All we have to do is trust him as our Savior. And God will forever look through that lens of Jesus Christ when he sees us. We don't have to pay the price for our sin. Jesus took our place. And this alone should be enough to make us thankful for as long as we live. But he doesn't stop there. Every single day he continues to bless us. And we take it for granted. We don't see all the little things. We don't look at them for what they really are. I would bet that 100% of the folks here today have a warm place to live. We have food. We have clean water. Not only that, but most have transportation to get to and from. I would bet the majority have a little bit of extra money, even if it's not much, even if it's a few dollars. I would guess that not a single person here has ever been put in prison for exercising your faith. You've never been harassed or tortured because you love Christ. Every single Christian here today woke up with another opportunity to share Jesus with someone that's headed for an eternity in hell. And every single non-Christian woke up with another opportunity to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior so that they don't spend eternity in hell. We all have something to be thankful for, not just today, but every single day of our lives. The last question this morning is this: shouldn't we as Christians set the standard for thankfulness? Shouldn't we be the ones that set the standard for thankfulness? I'm going to throw some numbers at you here. These are numbers that were reported by this church to the SBC, and that's where I got all the information from. In 2011, this church had 206 members. The average attendance for worship that year was 160. That's 77% of our members would be here on any given Sunday to worship God. To say, thank you, God, for what you've done for me. We average 75 people in Sunday school. That's 36% of our total membership. Now, today, we have 258 members. And we average about 80 on any given Sunday. Sometimes it's a little higher, some a little lower, but we average about 80, believe it or not. That's 31% that have returned to give thanks to God. 31%. And in Sunday school, it's only about 15 or 16%. I know that there are a lot of questions you could ask about that information. There are a lot of statements you could make about that information. But irregardless, those are the facts. But it doesn't seem like a lot has changed. Because Jesus healed these 10 lepers. Most of these 10 lepers were Jews. Those Jews were God's chosen people. The ones that he had established a covenant with. The ones that he led and protected and so many times he rescued. But when Jesus healed them, only one returned to say thank you. And the one that returned was a Samaritan. And by tradition of that day, he was a lower class than the Jews. He was not in the same social class as a Jew. But he was the only one that showed up to say, thank you for changing my life. God's people should have been setting the bar for thankfulness in that situation. But instead, they were nowhere to be found. The same is true today. Think of some of the Christians that you know. Some are bitter, mean. Some won't think of anyone but themselves. They're proud and arrogant and rude at times. The problem is a lot of times people outside of the church are more pleasant to be around than the people inside of the church. It should be the other way around. Amen. Christians are supposed to set the bar for love and kindness and gentleness and thankfulness. But instead,
When Jesus changes somebody's life, we show up with a uniform and a set of rules. We slap them on the butt and say, get to work. And don't be running either. Guess what? People are beginning to reject that as silly and fake and legalistic, and they don't want any part of it. So we can either die standing on our principles or adjust and love people to Christ. We're meant to live in such a way that non-believers and even new believers want what we have. When I look at the trends right here in this church, I can't help but think it isn't happening. I want you to hear me loud and clear when I say this. Listen up. 2016 will be a defining year for this church. I believe that it's going to be a year that will decide the future of this body of believers. As I close this morning, I encourage you to examine your attitude. Do you have a thankful heart? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 tells us to give thanks in all circumstances, for that's God's will for us in Christ Jesus. God desires that we be thankful and not make excuses. He desires that we be thankful because every one of us has something to be thankful for. And He desires us to be thankful because we're supposed to be the example to the rest of the world for what it truly means to be thankful. The only way we can do that is through the strength that we find in Christ. With His power and His leading, we can be thankful in all circumstances. Take the time this morning to thank God for what He's done for not only you, but for your family and your friends. Will you stand with me? As always, I just ask that you close your eyes and bow your heads for just a minute. I talked a little bit about it earlier, about what Christ did for each and every one of us. But maybe you're here this morning and you don't have that relationship with Christ and you want it. Maybe He's tugging on your heartstrings right now. I want you to know that Jesus loves you and He died for you. You see, the Bible says that every single one of us have sinned, and that sin separates us from God. But Jesus Christ died to pay the penalty for your sins and mine. And He didn't stop there, because 3 days later He rose from the grave having conquered death. And God's Word teaches that if you'll believe that with all of your heart and confess it with your mouth, you'll be saved. Saved from hell and eternal separation from God. I want you to know that this morning, if you don't have a relationship with Christ, you can begin one. And as I tell you every week, it's not always easy. It might be the hardest thing that you ever do in your life, but it's also the most rewarding. This morning, if you don't have a relationship with Christ, I encourage you, during the time of invitation, come on up here, and I'd love to talk with you. I'd love to pray with you. Maybe God's dealing with the issue of unthankfulness in your life. If that's you, I want you to know that today is the day to get it taken care of. Today is the day to get things right with God, and this altar will be open for you to do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you do so much for us every single day. So many of the little things that we look past, Lord, that we don't recognize so often as your work, but it is, Lord. We thank you for what you do. Father, help us to have thankful hearts. Help us to give credit where credit is due, Lord, and that's you. Father, help this group of believers to develop that close relationship with you, Lord. Help them to want to be close to you and to serve you and to reach out to others in your name, to be that example to this community, to love them to you. Father, we thank you for what you're going to do in this church. We thank you for what you're already doing. And it's in Jesus' name we come to you. Amen. Again, this altar's open to you. If you have business with God this morning, don't wait. Get it taken care of today.